All right, joining us here is KFNC radio host and NBA expert Joel Blank. Joel, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Good to be back with you guys.
Fear the deer. Good morning, Joel.
How are you, Carla?
I know you're really good this morning. Talk to us.
Well, as I recall, you are a huge Bucks fan. Am I right? I know you're a big Packers fan. You're from Green Bay or Milwaukee. Tell us what's going on here. Are you happy today?
I'm really not, guys. I picked the Nets to win the series, and I'm still disgusted with the way the Bucks have played the entire series. I want the Bucks to win, but just realistically, I couldn't pick them because if you look at the entire series, the Bucks should already have had closed it out and won by now with the injuries the Nets have had, and the fact that there's two different fronts here. On a Milwaukee front, I hate to say this, but I think Giannis might be the most overrated superstar in the league because, as good as he can be in the regular season winning MVP trophies, the fact that if you can't make a free throw and you're so headstrong that no matter how bad you are as a three-point shooter, when they give it to you, you continue to take it, bothers me. And then even worse, I think Mike Budenholzer gets fired if they don't win this series because he's made no adjustments. And if you know Giannis can't shoot free throws and also that they're going to build that wall defensively, don't let them bring the ball up the floor so that you can spread him out so that they can't do that. They haven't done any of that. And then on the other side of the basketball, I think we can all agree the best player in the series has been Kevin Durant. You're not double-teaming him. You're not taking the ball out of his hands. You're not doing anything differently. And you're having Drew Holiday, who's a foot and some inches shorter than him, guard him so that he can score at will. It just makes no sense to me.
I agree with you 100%, Joel. And that was my next question is, if they do not get past the Nets, which is going to be a high bar because they're going to be in Brooklyn on Saturday night, is Budenholzer accountable? Why hasn't anyone talked about this? They have clearly underperformed, and you're right. They've got a two-time league MVP, and this is what they're getting out of him. You're right. This series should have been done. The Nets should already have been sent home.
Yeah, I think Budenholzer's in deep trouble, Carl. And I think you look at the track record, it's not for lack of opportunity. You had the best record in the league for two straight years, and then you completely underachieved come playoff time. So you know what they did? They went out, unlike a lot of general managers and teams where players get frustrated, like Dame Lillard, they went out and gave him more. They gave him P.J. Tucker. They went and got Drew Holiday. They put even more pieces for Budenholzer in the puzzle so that they could be deeper. They're the offensive top three offensive and defensive rated team in the league, the only team to do that. And yet here we are again with the same broken record. It's a great regular season, but come playoff time, they just can't get it done. And the lack of adjustments on both sides of the basketball are just too much to ignore over a three-year span. I get it. Accidents happen. Sometimes fluke things happen. And you can have a bad year in the playoffs. But for three consecutive seasons, if they underachieve, they have to find somebody else. Because at some point, Giannis is going to get frustrated. But as I said, the other thing that's it's a crazy scenario in the NBA right now. When you look at a guy like Giannis, Milwaukee in a small market had to lock him up on a supermax deal.
Exactly.
They had no choice. But that's the problem that small market teams face that can't draw consistent superstars to want to play there. You did all this under the anticipation he was going to continue to get better, and now he's being exposed for some major shortcomings that have to be fixed, or you could be in a big, big hole for the next several years till that contract expires.
Lots of work to do, but they can right the ship in Game 7 if they get it right. I mean, just looking ahead, it seems like the playoffs are wide open right now.
Yeah.
I mean, who do you look at as the team to beat? Who's the favorite at this point?
Well, until they're eliminated because they have the most dominant offensive player on the planet right now in Kevin Durant, the Nets have to be up there. And then if it's not the Nets, you know, I look at based on how severe this protocol is for Chris Paul, you always go with the hot team. And especially in basketball, if the right team gets hot at the right time, they can do a lot of damage. Chris Paul and the Suns are just on a fantastic roll right now. It seems like the most important thing is off the floor. There's a massive amount of chemistry, and he's been the glue that's brought them all together. Booker is an extremely talented young player who continues to get better. Ayton finally kind of came into his own and has given them a low post presence. Bridges is a guy that they basically stole in the draft a couple years ago that stepped up. So I like what Phoenix has to offer. I think that when you look at it, the league is probably it's a blessing and a curse. The league likes the parity. They like the fact that for the first time in forever, you could have teams like Atlanta, Utah, and Phoenix mm-hmm. battling for a title. They also hate the fact that from a national network standpoint, where a lot of their money is buried, I'm sure the networks are cringing going, oh my God, if we get Salt Lake City against Atlanta, what are we going to do from a an attention draw marketing standpoint? So I think the Suns are the team to beat for me in the West simply because of the fact that they are healthy aside from what Chris is going through, and I expect him to be back, and the fact that they have the most continuity. But I can't close the door on Brooklyn until someone eliminates him, because even with just Kevin Durant, he can be enough to win a game, as we saw the other night.
Well, yeah, I guess in this year's playoffs, Kevin Durant alone of those big three might be enough. Hey, listen, we're talking to Joel Blank, NBA expert, show host on KFNC Houston. And as we've been speaking, there is breaking news. You may have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
The Boston Celtics mm-hmm. trading Kemba Walker, Al Horford coming back from Oklahoma City, going to the Celtics. So Kemba Walker and his fit in Boston, it was a tough year. He was limited physically. How do you assess this trade? Basically, the primary players are Kemba Walker and Al Horford, Oklahoma City and Boston.
First thing, David, is it frees up a ton of cap room for a team that needs it in Boston. They got a Peyton Pritchard behind Kemba Walker that they really believe in, son of Kevin Pritchard, general manager in the league for a long time, that played at Oregon and is a really savvy point guard. I think it's more or less a move that had to be made for a couple of fronts. One, they want some financial flexibility to try and get some help for Tatum and Brown in that core. And Kemba wasn't it because, as you mentioned, he can't stay healthy. And if you can't stay healthy on a competitive team, no matter how much you might like the guy as a person, he can't stick around, because even from the short term with what we saw with Chris Paul in Houston, the fact of the matter is that on these teams that are, you know, championship or bust, if you got a guy who has a hell of a resume but can't consistently be on the floor, it's not going to do enough for you to keep your jobs and do what needs to be done. So I think that it creates some financial flexibility for a Celtics team that's looking to win now. I think the second thing that you're seeing is Horford's contract was much shorter, but he also gives them for one more year some help in the middle in a place where he's played before and felt comfortable. So he may be able to help them short term. And then from an Oklahoma City perspective, this is Chris Paul part two. I mean, they're going to take Kemba Walker on, and they get another first round pick this year. They'll now have three in the first round. They'll take Kemba Walker and look for the best situation for him, for a team that really needs a point guard, a veteran that can help them. And they'll look to turn it into even more picks, as Sam Presti, the general manager there, has like a cupboard overflowing. It may be the Oklahoma City draft instead of the NBA draft for the next 3 to 4 years with all the picks that he's acquired.
Right.
And Daryl Morey gets some credit for that too. But I think it helps both teams. Oklahoma City's plans are long-term. Celtics' plans are short-term. And just getting Kemba's contract off the books helps them a great deal.
Joel, let me ask you about the series tonight that could be closed out in Atlanta and the 76ers. Obviously, we saw the other night 76ers blowing a 26-point lead. And, you know, sadly, Doc Rivers has been in 8 of the worst collapses in NBA history. He's been involved in 5 of them. How much responsibility is on Rivers, and how much is on Ben Simmons, who can't shoot the 3? 4 from 14 of free throws the other night. He can't shoot. I mean, what does he do? I mean, defensively, yes. Who's got the responsibility there, and what changes do you need to see in Philadelphia?
Carl, I think they all have to take responsibility. And you're right. I don't think enough fingers are pointed at Doc Rivers over the course of his career. Yes, he won a title in Boston, but yes, he's had all these major collapses as well, and they continue to happen. And at a certain point, you have to start asking why, and why are you always at the helm when they happen? And from a playing perspective, I think there's twofold. One, take out everything that I just said about Giannis Antetokounmpo, take his name out, put Ben Simmons in there, and then we have the exact same scenario. Mm. You can't make free throws, you can't make threes, and yet you, again, are another max player because of a victim of circumstance, which is what the league has to face. But now you're being exploited, and on the biggest stage, people are pointing fingers going, what are you going to do to take this team to the next round?
Yep.
And you have to scratch your temple and go, I don't know. And even from an Embiid standpoint, here's a guy that has all the tools in the world, but yet this could be another scenario on another year where he's going to blame an injury and then make excuses for falling short. And the minute that he landed, and if you guys look at that replay, I never saw his knee have any issues. He landed on his tailbone, but suddenly I said on my show that day, Daryl Morey, who is been doing this for James Harden for years, yep, just built in an excuse for Joel Embiid in case he falls short. Because now, if they don't get it done, they can go, well, if Joel Embiid was healthy, or in the second half of the last two games, if he had been healthy and had more lift and the knee would have been better, he would have, could have, should have. And that's what this whole team looks like this year, a bunch of woulda, coulda, shouldas. On the flip side, give Atlanta all the credit in the world. This is a young team, much like Phoenix, on the come up, but you weren't expecting them for another year or two. But because they've galvanized as a team, they've looked adversity in the face and took it head on. Trae Young has shown that he's actually willing to take the next step. That's a team that's impressive to me, and because they're on their home floor, I give them every chance in the world to eliminate the Sixers, and then the offseason's going to be real interesting in Philly as well.
Great stuff. Thank Joel Blank, KFNC Houston. Joel, really appreciate you joining us this morning.
You got it, guys. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
You too.